0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 5 big games in the Premiership tonight as the transfer deadline closes in. Celtic signed Sam Johnston and Shim Weka today, with several more expected to follow. Still no Kevin Kelsey confirmation at Rangers, with Asgard and Raskin's futures up in the air. Lots of transfers set to happen before the deadline tomorrow. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio are Tony Watt and Alex Ray, and the two of you have been sitting through there in the office scribbling down every transfer that has happened, that might happen between now and tomorrow at 5 o'clock. But just to add to that, we've got 5 Premiership games tonight as well.
Yeah, exciting night ahead in terms of the games and the transfers. But yeah, it'd be a good day to be a centre mid if you were a player available. And Celtic are looking for I think Celtic are looking to play 6 in the middle, the amount of centre mids are signing. But look, it's business that needed to be done. They have signed already, by the looks of it, 5 players. If Johnson was included, that's 6. And now there is another 3 potentially coming tonight. Is that 6 players, sorry, Johnson, and another 3? So it looks as if they're getting the business done late, but they look as if they're getting the business done.
Yes, you've got all these matches tonight, 5 very important games, especially at the start of the season. You're looking at Kilmarnock, a very tricky tie there. Celtic will take on Aberdeen. Dundee need to bounce back against St Johnstone. Motherwell will take on Dundee United. The big game at Falkirk as well, you know, Rangers trying to get back-to-back wins. And then you have all this transfer activity. Who's coming, who's going? There's been a raft of players coming into Ibrox over the course of this transfer window, and possibly another one.
We are not going to be short on talking points tonight. 0141 951 1025. Maybe you want to do the traditional build up to the evening games, and you're on the way to a match and you want to tell us who should play for your team, how confident you are, whether you're confident at all going into your match. There are some big games: Kilmarnock against St Mirren, Motherwell against Dundee United, Celtic at home to Aberdeen, Dundee at home to St Johnstone, Rangers travelling to Falkirk, and Edinburgh Derby tomorrow. And on top of that, all the transfer business. 2 confirmed signings for Celtic today. Shim Weka is signed on a season-long loan from Chelsea. Sam Johnston is signed on a season-long loan from Wolves. So a striker and a goalkeeper. What about the other positions? Because we saw yesterday, Oliver Sorensen signed. Joel Vandenberg is set to sign from PSV on a permanent deal. What about Landon Emanalo? What about Gvidas Giannitis, one that has been going on for a few weeks from Torino? There's talk about Jordan Latomba from Feyenoord. So Celtic fans, what are you liking about that business? What needs to be done, whether it's before 5 o'clock tomorrow or before 11 o'clock tonight, because that's the Europa League squad registration deadline. So how many signings do you need to get in tonight, or is it a case of waiting until the deadline and seeing what you can get right up until then? What about you Rangers fans? Because Derek McInnes said yesterday it could just be the one player in before tomorrow's deadline. Kevin Kelsey has had his medical and yet to be confirmed, but are you expecting that to happen? Do you want more business on top of that? Some reports that Tello Asgard could be on his way to Anderlecht. How do you feel about that? What about the Nico Raskin situation? Because he's still not gone. The English deadline has passed. Some deadlines in other countries have passed. However, he's still there and he's not been playing. So it's very interesting. 0141 951 1025. We're going to go around the grounds. We're going to get some preview to all the games, or some of the games that are happening tonight. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. And yeah, I'm sure we're going to have some breaking news as well across the next 2 hours on this show, Tony, surely.
Yeah, I think there's going to be a few curveballs coming out. The one that sticks out for me is the Raskin one. It'll be interesting to see if he's named in the starting lineup tonight. But at the end of the window, we'll see how, a decision not to play him in the European games, because at the moment he's our best midfielder. I'm not saying anything against anybody else, but he's the one that could probably put the foot in the ball and made a little bit of difference in the European games. And it's cost him a few quid in terms of money for qualifying and what comes along with it. Now, if he does go, then okay, no problem. The chummy stuff, you can argue that you get injured and you want to protect your assets. But if somebody's at a club under contract, they should be playing. And even the rumours that he was going to go on loan, for me, the best way to put it would be, if you get a loan fee, okay, but if in April it's an option to buy and he gets a long-term injury, Rangers aren't protecting their asset. If he's out until the the midway through the next season, then he walks away in a free, and Rangers really, really look stupid in that one. And I think that it would have been a wild decision to let him go without an obligation to buy. It cannot be an option to buy because then the other club's in full control.
No, no, totally agree with that. It was the interesting thing about how this has been handled. You think this has been ongoing. He's obviously missed the last couple of games and been paid by Rangers. And it now transpires that it seems as if it's a loan deal, but it's in the Beşiktaş favour, which for me is, you know, shouldn't have ever got to that stage anyway, the discussions. Then you've obviously got Asgard potentially leaving. Will that change things? Because it leaves him a wee bit short in that particular position, round about the 10. Obviously, they mentioned that the boy coming for Kelsey from America, Portland, then it looks as if that will be done. But Derek McKinnon says that would potentially be the last one. However, if Asgard goes out and there's frees up another 6 million, does that mean that someone potentially could come in the door to replace him?
0141 951 1025 on the phones. As I said, we will go around some of the grounds, get a taster ahead of the matches. We'll bring you the team news a bit later on, but before that, we will speak to you. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Anton is a Celtic fan in Toll Cross. Anton, not long to go until the transfer deadline, not long to go until Celtic against Aberdeen tonight. What's on your mind?
Obviously, I've seen some reports came in tonight. I don't know how true it is. Obviously, it's on Twitter. It had a loan bid rejected for Greg Taylor, and a bit concerned, like, what's happening with Emanuelo. I mean, I'd perfectly prefer Will Ferry, but yeah.
Yeah, I have also seen that. I think the initial reports came from over in Greece that suggested that Celtic were interested in taking Greg Taylor back on loan. Pollock have booted out that offer. And then it raises the questions of what's happening elsewhere, because Anton talks about Landon Emanalo, who I think about 20 days ago or so was pictured at Celtic's training ground in Lennoxtown. That one, not sure whether it's developed, looked as if it was on, looked as if it was off. But yeah, left back is certainly a position that Celtic are going to need to strengthen, isn't
it? Yep, without doubt. We've been saying it for the last few weeks now that they need cover for Kieran Tierney. We were mentioning Ferry at the weekend. I think he's been a standout for a long while now. I don't think the price tag would scare Celtic either. So I'm surprised that they've obviously gone back for a loan deal. The Polk has obviously said no, the loan deal. They'll be trying to maybe cut ties totally. And I understand that, you know, because it gives the other team, the loan team, all the kind of power. So for me, it's about trying to kind of secure the position of the club. And they'll obviously want to try and kind of get a fee for them and then shift them on to Celtic.
What would you make of a potential return for Greg Taylor?
Yeah, Greg Taylor was a great servant for Celtic. I think that the one that stands out for me is the Will Ferry one. I think in terms of finances, it's a no-brainer. If Celtic can get him for £2 million,
his wages wouldn't be extravagant either.
At Dundee United, I know for a fact he's not going to be on massive money. You triple his wages or quadruple his wages, it's still a lot cheaper than any other option they're going to get from...
You talking for experience here, aye?
Well,
all the big contracts are by the buy now.
I paid to play. They tried to get me out the door when they seen the wages, in terms of they were changing their model. They thought we'll get good players instead of bad players. And I think Will Ferry's the smart option. I do. I think when you watch him, he just gives 100% and he adds a wee bit of quality. Now, Greg Taylor also would be a good one, but his wages have definitely went up. He's not went to Greece for nothing. You'd need to pay a loan fee. You'd need to cover the full whack. Will Ferry would become an asset, because you know if he does in 50% of the games this season what he done for Dundee United, some team in England's paying good money for him, because he's a top player at this level. Now, Greg Taylor's injury, Kieran Tierney's injuries can be protected if you've got a backup that's not a million miles away from him in terms of level. You can rest him, you can take him off at 60 minutes and the team doesn't drop. So I think Will Ferry would be the no-brainer, but it just depends on what Celtic want to do.
It's an interesting one where you mentioned the boy was in about 5 or 6 weeks ago being pictured at Celtic as well, and that hasn't materialised. There might be a stumbling block or something there.
Anton, what have you made of the two confirmed signings from today? Sam Johnston, goalkeeper on loan from Wolves, and Shim Weka, 18-year-old striker on loan from Chelsea.
I mean, I'm the same as everybody. Obviously, everybody YouTubes him and you can see all the kind of what he does for Chelsea. Obviously, done under 21 last year, had a great season, finished player of the year. Sam Johnston, obviously, today in his interview with Celtic, he spoke to Joe Hart and said he'd be sold on Celtic, but obviously it does help with Joe Hart, you know.
I'll stop you there, Anton, because this is the beauty of live radio. Celtic have announced their latest signing, and it is Landon Emanalo on loan from Chelsea. So the left back option is sorted, is secured, is in the building, Anton.
So here my question is, then, do Celtic need three left-backs? Because then if you look at last season, obviously, hindered with injuries. Look at Arthur Johnson, obviously went out with a long-term injury. They'd rung in Araujo. He came in, did well, got injured a wee bit. Then we played Donovan, and then Ralston played again last season. Like, is it the point where we're limiting Greg Taylor for the third choice, or are we going to use...
You would imagine that, you know, that inquiry that was made was just Celtic sounding out a potential option. You would think, Tony, you'd be extremely surprised if Celtic were planning on signing two left-backs.
I think, and it's the nature of the game, it's unfortunate, but I've seen it my time, and I know I've seen it your time. You're waiting for a move, and loads of teams inquire and question, and see until that paper's signed. Nothing sorted. I think they would have asked about Will Ferry. I think they would have asked about Greg Taylor, and they'd probably asked about a few more. Now, instead of another left back, I think they could do with a centre back, because I think Scales will be the third choice in terms of the left back option, because he can play centre back, but he can fill in that role as a utility man. Now, if Carter Vickers gets injured right footed, I think they struggle, because Dane Murray, for me, needs to play games. I get that. Good option to have. I think he'll be a good Celtic player in years to come. But if we look at what happened last week in Europe, Celtic, for me, need to win the league, need to win some cups, but they need to get a 18-man squad minimum embedded for the next year's Champions League squad. I don't think they can be weak going into that, and I think the best thing they could do is build a strong, strong team for that. And I would have liked to seen a centre-back coming in, but you never know with this. Latomba, maybe he can fill in, but I think in terms of the Greg Taylor one, I think that will now be off. I think Scales can be the deputy and play five or six games at left back there.
Anton, what about the potential signings, the ones that haven't quite been confirmed yet? Joel Vandenberg looks as if that one is signed and sealed, just hasn't been announced yet. There is a bit of chat tonight that Guidis Giannitis from Torino isn't happening, that one looks as if it may well have fallen apart. Jordan Latomba, a fullback from Feyenoord. What are you liking, not liking out of those potential options? Anything else you're looking for?
Well, what about the guys? Like, so Celtic's midfield three, let's be honest. Callum McGregor's going to start mostly every game. I feel Negan at present moment is a bit undroppable because of goals and assist ratio. So I feel you've only got that one spot, and it's going to be basically between Bauer, Sorensen, and then the Dutch boys already there. So it's like three players fighting for that kind of one spot. And then I feel you've obviously Oxlade-Chamberlain, obviously who's probably back up to play McGregor at the minute. So it's like a strong midfield.
You've even got Luke McCowan in there as an option. It's a lot of players to occupy three midfield positions, isn't it?
He's just missed out Giannitis.
Well, I'm not sure he's coming now. It seems that's maybe off.
That's still a lot of central
midfielders.
That makes sense if that one's off, because the Sorensen one and the Vandenberg one. I don't mind the Vandenberg one, by the way. That's a
sort of one for the future.
Yeah, and it's... What was that, a few million? They sold Johnny
Kenny. Yeah, I think it was maybe 3.4 million.
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of stuff today, and if you're selling Johnny Kenny for 3 million and getting him in for 3 million, it's a no brainer.
Life for life, yeah.
Aye, Johnny Kenny was kind of on the fringes. He's on the fringes. Like, I think that's quite smart business for Celtic. You look at Arnie Ingles get brought in for, 10 million, sold for 22. So Celtic still need to keep that model of bringing players in and selling them, whilst also being good at the moment. But like you said, McGregor, Bauer, Negrin, we're looking at it probably being the midfield three at this moment. Then you look at Sorensen, obviously Giannitis might not be coming, Vandenberg, Oxlade-Chamberlain, Luke McCown. I think Celtic now looks strong
secured
enough
there. Yeah, listen, you want two players for each position, and I think they've got more than enough cover in that area now.
Well, thank you to Anton, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's go around some of the grounds, shall we? Because we are talking transfers, but there are big games tonight as well. Let's start at Celtic Park. Gabriel Antoniazzi is there. He's going to watch Celtic against Aberdeen.
Yes, Andrew, good evening. It's one of these strange nights where the focus is not on what's happening on the pitch, really. It's what's happening off it, as you boys have just been through. When we spoke to assistant boss Sean Maloney yesterday, he told us the club wanted to sign 3-4 players, perhaps more. It now could be up to as many as 7. Of course, the transfer window in Scotland closes tomorrow at 5. The real deadline is tonight for Celtic, though, at 11, as that's when registration for the European squads closes. As you've already run through, midfielder Oliver Oliver Sorensen is already in. Experienced goalkeeper Sam Johnston is in to compete for the number one jersey. The promising teenage striker Chimueke is in from Chelsea on loan. And just now, Landon Emenalo, also from Chelsea, has been linked all summer. He finally provides support for Kieran Tierney. Joel Vandenberg, the 19-year-old midfielder, is probably still to come. He was at Lennox Town yesterday. They're still trying for Torino midfielder Kvidas Giannitis, although it may not happen now. And finally, that right-back, final defender Jordan Lotombo, looks set to join on a permanent deal. Now, Reo Hatate, Johnny Kenny, leaving last night before the English window closed. You'd probably expect one or two more to follow before tomorrow night. But fans here, Andrew, will be left asking why it's taken so long to happen after the club's Champions League elimination and over a month into the domestic season for all this business to be done. And it'll be interesting to see what reception the supporters give this evening to the board, to the team, and to any potential new signings that are here and perhaps paraded on the pitch. Back to tonight's football, though, there will be no Casper Hugh or Kieran Tierney. Both do have a chance to play at the weekend. Striker Callum Osmond is out for a month or so, but his ankle issue is not as bad as first feared. Alistair Johnson, of course, remains sidelined. Callum McGregor is likely to return from illness. You'd expect Camilo Duran to play centrally. He's got 5 goals in 6 games for the club. Liam Scales will surely play at left back. The visitors, Aberdeen, were narrowly beaten by Rangers on Sunday. Far from a classic at Pittodrie, though. They did feel hard done by some officiating decisions, but it doesn't get any easier for Stephen Robinson's side tonight. Their only points came on the opening day with a late victory over Hearts. They're down in 10th. They hope to kickstart their season with a result here. It's a miserable night in the East End. Summer is certainly over. Team news at about 6:30, kickoff 7:45.
One of the other big games is happening in Falkirk. Falkirk against Rangers. Alison McConnell watching on there. If we can get her. I'm not sure. Have we got Alison? No, I don't think we do. We will try and get to Alison after the break. We'll also speak to Joe in Cambus Lang about Nico Raskin.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Alex Ray and Tony Watt here with me, Andrew McLean, on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It is a busy, busy night in Scottish football. We have 5 Premiership matches, but on top of that, the transfer deadline is less than 24 hours away. Lots of business being done today. Celtic have confirmed 3 signings, 2 earlier on. Chimueke on loan from Chelsea, Sam Johnston on loan from Wolves, and Landon Emenalo a few moments ago on loan from Chelsea. Still expecting some more because the Europa League deadline for squad registration is at 11 o'clock tonight, so I imagine they'll be trying to get a few faces in the door ready for that. 0141 951 1025. We're going to speak to Joe in Cambus Lang, but I think we can go to Alison McConnell, who is at Falkirk against Rangers.
I am indeed, Andrew. How are you? I hope everyone can hear me okay once we've got over the early teething problems of connection. But yeah, I'm at Falkirk, and as we speak, the rain has gone off for now. But yeah, Derek McInnes will know that he can't make heavy weather of this one this evening. Of course, that win at Pittodrie on Sunday brought the noise level down a wee notch, but I think there is still ample work to be done for this Rangers side before they can convince everyone that they are the real deal. So I think still a lot of fragility around them, despite the fact they got that win at Pittodrie. Lauren Shankland, of course, netting the only goal of the game, his first league goal for the club against Aberdeen, and it'll be interesting to see if he and Rangers can just kick on from that one. For Falkirk, it's been a pretty tough start to the season. This will be their 4th league game of the campaign, and 3 out of 4 of those games have come against teams who finished in the top 4 last term. They've had loads of change this season. I think 16 new players have come in to John McGlynn's side as they go and just trying to sustain that form that took them into a top 6 place last season. They've taken just 1 point across the opening sequence of games so far, but they'll know tonight that if they can frustrate Rangers in the opening stages of this one, the pressure will start to build on Derek McInnes' side. Rangers manager is in the stand for this one and the game against Motherwell at the weekend after his touchline ban was reduced to a couple of games, two games suspended following those comments made last season. So we'll bring you team news as soon as we get it, and of course if we hear about any movement and we hear about any updates to all the news that has been swirling around this afternoon, then we'll bring it to you as soon as we've got it.
Yes, I will go back for team news and we will get that in the not too distant future. Alison quite literally buzzing to be there as we could hear. Well, maybe we'll try and sort that out, but sounding good. Yes, 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Joe has been hanging on in Canvas Lang. Joe, I think you've got a point about Nico Raskin.
Yeah. Good evening, panel.
Hi, Joe.
I think the Nico Raskin thing's just turned into a circus. Me, like many other Rangers fans, believed after the World Cup. I mean, I didn't even actually think he would reappear at Ibrox again. I thought he would be gone. So right now, what his options are left, I mean, the Saudi Arabia, Turkey and a few other places. Now, monitoring the press today, the Turkish media were saying that the Beşiktaş had agreed a verbal deal with Rangers for on loan. If Rangers Football Club let Nico Raskin go out on loan without an obligation to buy, not an option, an obligation to buy, then that's an absolute disgrace. I agree with what Tony Watt said at the start. You cannot have a player like that going out and possibly getting an injury or something, or he does an ACL or whatever, and it's an option to buy, and then we just punt him back to us. I think Raskin himself even thought he was going to go, so he either needs to change his agents and get himself a better agent, or there's something else going on there, because like I say, most Rangers fans are fully expected him to go. And another point, John Souter.
Well, I'll let you come back in on that, Joe. We'll touch on Nico Raskin first. I'll let you come back in on John Souter. The Nico Raskin situation is an interesting one, because he has been left out the last two squads. Derek McInnes has said on multiple occasions there haven't actually been any bids, which I think there now has been, of course, that one from Beşiktaş. But Rangers seem unwilling to let him go out on any deal that wouldn't be either permanent right now or with an obligation to make it permanent, which you completely understand. But if he doesn't leave and he's still at Rangers beyond the deadline, there'll probably be big question marks over why he was allowed to sit out of not only games, but big games.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the one you mentioned last week, Jablinek, to leave him out against that. Now, there's obviously discussions ongoing, but if the discussions were that to be a loan deal to Beşiktaş, I don't think that's something you would be kind of too keen to entertain, but I don't think it favours Rangers. And as Joe says on the line there, I think there'd be a real kind of clamour from the Rangers fans to see why are we allowing a guy, potentially the best midfielder at a club, allowed to leave the club on a loan deal with no obligation to buy. So the whole circumstances behind it doesn't seem right at all. I understand if it was a considerable fee for Rangers and they were just saying, right, okay, we want that to land and we don't want him to get injured in the process. But when you're getting knocked out of Europe and you've got one of your best players sat at home, it just doesn't sit right. And I think that's one of the reasons why most Rangers fans are miffed about the way this has been handled.
The fact that he has been sitting out those games would make you assume that Rangers would be all right with him leaving this summer, but it's still got to be the right deal for him to leave before 5 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah, the bizarre thing for me is, see, if he's not, he's involved with the Belgium squad, right? And this stats day and age, you'd think that he'd probably pop up in a few radars like Arne Engels did and they get the money. But to me, it doesn't seem like the Rangers fans are really that sad about losing him. It's more about the protecting the asset, the money they get, because they see Arne Engels going for 20 million and they think, right, he's went to the World Cup ahead of Engels, he should be around that number, which I totally understand in terms of transfer value, whether it's right or wrong. I'm not saying that to be the case. But for me, it's as if Rangers fans want the money or want him to play. It's not as if they're like, oh, we cannot lose him, or he's that indispensable. And for me, that's what I find bizarre, because I go back and look at him last season and I think he was all right. I thought the World Cup, I think he won one game that he started, which is good, by the way, starting in the World Cup, all amazing. But it's not as if he's pulled up trees in the last year or 18 months. He went through a spell, I remember, when he scored the header against Celtic, and he was probably the best centre mid in the league. But other than small bits, and whether that's because Rangers have been inconsistent or whatever, I don't think he's done enough to be a £20 million player. And whether I'm right or wrong, but there's something just missing for me, whether it's attitude, whether it's what he's done on the pitch. But I think if Rangers can go and get £10 million, but you cannot send him on loan, it would be incredibly stupid.
What was your next point, Joe?
John Souter, I mean, do we need to put out a missing person for this fella? I mean, where is he? I mean, Derek McInnes has gave several interviews over the last few weeks saying he was down south. What is that, the South Pole or south as in England? I mean, where on earth is this fella? He's got a year left in his contract. He was meant to be going to Sheffield United, Leicester, There was Swansea was apparently interested at the very, very beginning. Apparently West Ham were interested. Either bring the guy back into the fold and keep him as a backup player, because for me he's done nothing wrong, because when he comes on he does what he can do. As we seem very, very keen to get rid of him, and I just wonder where he is and why has he not, why has no deal materialised for him? Because no, I mean, if you read and you hear rumours, etc., I mean, he's apparently in the bomb squad where obviously they're looking to get rid of him. But I mean, if we get to the end of the window tomorrow and he's still there, then he needs to be in the squad. He needs to be on the bench at least, because Emmanuel Fernandez, I mean, for me, shouldn't be guaranteed a starting place every week, because Emmanuel Fernandez is going to cost us more than he helps us, because I just think Fernandez believes he's hyped the last season, and he obviously thinks he's Paolo Maldini or something, the way he saunters about and all the rest of it. He needs to. We are very, very short at the back, very short at the back. I mean, it's okay going after wingers and attacking players, which we did need. I agree with that. But as I said last week when I was on, you can score three goals, but there's no point scoring three if you're going to concede five, is there?
I'll be quite intrigued to see how the John Souter situation plays out, because the English window is now closed. It seemed that that's where John Souter was going to go if he was going to go anywhere. But the fact that he seems to be frozen out at Rangers, he's not been in match day squads, he's not been anywhere near it at all.
Yeah.
If he's still at Rangers beyond the deadline, what happens?
Well, there's a dilemma, first and foremost, and the dilemma is that I think the club have showed their hand that he is not going to be part of the plans. My understanding is that he is part of the bomb squad, which happens. I think I said a couple of weeks ago there was just, I think it was 32 players at Rangers, and they were pretty much trying to cut the cloth accordingly, and John was part of that. Now, you've mentioned several windows that are already closed to him. Is the MLS still a possibility? Because I think he was linked to one or two clubs over there. So for me, that would make sense, because the one thing you don't want is, you don't want a Scottish international, early 30s, sat in the building if he's no part of it, because all you're doing is paying his wage, and it doesn't help anybody.
And that 1 year deal that he's got left, he only signed in March, I think.
Was it not renewed a couple of months ago?
Yeah.
I find it all a bit bizarre. I know John from being at Hearts, whom you'll know him
good
for
lad,
coaching him. Great guy. He's a very good footballer. He's same one we're asking, where okay, he maybe made one or two mistakes last year, but Rangers weren't a settled team. I think that happens with centre backs. I think John Souter's best when he's got a more experienced head next to him. And that's maybe the problem with Fernandez. I think back to his time at Hearts when he had like a Christophe Berra next to him. He really, really grew. And then when he's went to Rangers, even in Scotland, he's never really let Scotland down as well when he's played for them. So I think if the window closes, there's definitely scope for him to come back in the mix, because if Fernandez gets injured, is it Sterling's your backup? If I know Godfrey's came back, but is Godfrey left-footed?
No, I think he's
right-footed, so he'd be the other side.
He played on the right-hand side against Dundee United, didn't he?
He did.
But see, you're talking about windows. There's a possibility of going on a loan deal or a permanent in the Scottish one up until tomorrow. So someone like a Hearts or
not,
someone.
Was there not a rumour that he turned Hibs and Aberdeen down, or was that me getting catfished on Twitter?
Does that happen often to you, Tom?
Fabrizio Romano won it, but it's like he's changed his name. Have you seen that?
Seen a few of those.
I get done with that daily. See, like screenshotting something and putting it in the group chat that somebody's got to move, and they're saying just check your Twitter handle.
Do you think you've moved club because someone's just screenshotted something about
you? I don't think anybody's going to sign me, are they?
Thank you to Joe in Camas Lang. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. I think we can go to Celtic Park and get the teams for Celtic against Aberdeen from Gabriel.
Yeah, Andrew, Martin O'Neill makes two changes to the side that beat Falkirk 2-1 on Saturday. Austin Trusty and Cal McGregor come back in. Kieran Tierney is out, he's injured. Mika Bauer drops to the bench. Several of the new signings are amongst the substitutes. So it'll be Vilgami Sinisalo in goal. A defence of Colby Donovan, Cameron Carter, because Austin Trusty and Liam Scales. A midfield three of Callum McGregor, Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Benjamin Negrin. The same front three as the weekend. Haseem Hassan, Camila Duran and Yang. The substitutes, Johnston, McCarron, Tunetti, Sorensen, Bauer, Mueka, Murray, Forrest and Ralston. Several of them were just out in front of me, Andrew, walking around looking at Celtic Park on match day for the first time, taking it all in. Will they make their debuts this evening? For Aberdeen, it's four changes to the team who were beaten narrowly by Rangers on Sunday. Nusta, Molloy, Breedle, Armstrong and Malua in. Hape, Ronan, Ntelo, Yogan and Olasanya out. It's a change of shape as well. Looks like a 5-3-2. So it'll still be Marius Muller in goal. A back five of Chris Cadden, Mats Nusta, Lewis Mayo, Gavin Malloy and Nesta Guinness-Walker. Walker, a midfield three of Hafiz Aremu, Alexander Breedle and Stuart Armstrong. Ayub Malua joins Kevin Nisbet up top. The substitutes, Suman, Devlin, Yogan, Smith, Olasanya, Milne, Ronan and Tello Marshall. The referee is Duncan Nicholson and John Beaton is on VAR.
Yeah, I mean, no surprise that none of today's signings or last night's signing are starting this game, but a bit of excitement for Celtic fans going along that they could potentially see, you know, Shim, Weka, Oliver Sorensen, probably less likely that Sam Johnson's going to make an appearance from the bench, but always exciting for supporters going along, potentially seeing some new signings.
Yeah, absolutely. The fact it's a home game as well helps a lot, because if Celtic can go and get the lead and be comfortable in the game, they can then bring these players on. I think now with sports science and stuff, usually you need a training session or two to see where they are. You don't really want to put people in because injuries, so I can understand why they're not starting, but that Celtic team in the bench looks as strong as it's been for a long while, and I think they're in good shape going forward, and hopefully they can get minutes to the new boys tonight.
Camilo Duran through the middle again. I'm sure Celtic fans are looking forward to what he can produce after his recent form.
Listen, he's actually hit the ground running. He poses the opposition plenty of problems. He works extremely hard. And he's very much in the profile of the Celtic sign, you know, they've got really dynamic. I think, obviously, Trusty will play at left back. Scales will play left back. Then you've obviously got a midfield three of McGregor, Oxley, Chamberlain and Negrin. So there's a familiarity about the way Celtic go about their business. But it's an opportunity for these guys, as Tony says, to try and get some minutes tonight with the new guys that have just arrived. Just get them introduced to the Celtic following.
Chris is a Celtic fan in Irvine. Chris, what's on your mind? Is it the game tonight? The starting lineup? Is it transfers?
It's nearly transfers, right? See, I wish the board could just have done this earlier. Like every Celtic fan is wondering why it's took to the deadline day or the last 3 days before we're linked with five or six players. This should all have been done before LASK, if that makes sense. And at the next AGM, I think the fans deserve answers. And could also say thanks, Tony, for that wonderful night that we had against Barca.
No, thank you.
Yeah, on Chris's point, I mean, every club or most clubs tend to be sort of scrambling about towards the deadline, but Celtic just seem to have a bit more business to do than anyone else, highlighted by the fact that they made one signing last night, they made three so far today, could make more today, and not only are they competing against a 5 o'clock deadline tomorrow, they're competing against an 11 o'clock deadline. And as Chris says, not getting into the Champions League, that's why Celtic fans will be questioning, well, why weren't some of these deals or similar deals done a month ago to give Celtic a better chance of getting through?
And I think it's happened quite a lot over recent years where they've waited till the last minute for this to happen. I think there's a source of frustration with Celtic fans because they feel as if they can get their business done earlier, more bodies in will give them a better chance in the qualifier, and then getting players up to speed as well, because obviously these boys will be coming in but really won't have played a lot of minutes, and it is like kind of lastminute.com. And as I said, the Celtic fans want their business done a lot earlier to give them that fighting chance.
And that's it. Celtic might well do great business over the course of, you know, the next few hours up until tomorrow, but there's just constantly going to be those question marks every single year if Celtic are missing out on the Champions League, as they have done through qualifiers. Why are they not maybe learning the mistakes of previous years and getting more bodies in the door earlier in the window?
Yeah, I think it's a double-edged sword. I think that you can go and get your business done early and maybe not get your targets that you want, but sometimes negotiations take weeks, maybe even months, for the players that they really want. And the only way you'd get your answer if you sat down, Sean Maloney and Martin O'Neill, and said, which ones of these players were you desperate for? And you'd probably find a couple of them that came in are good profiles, like they were lucky enough to get Duran and Ho in early. They probably just were one player short to go through. Obviously, losing a 4-goal lead doesn't help any matters, but if they maybe had one more little bit of quality, they would have maybe seen that through, and now everybody's talking about it being a disaster. But Europa League's not a bad place to land in. I know everybody wants to be in the Champions League, and I get that, but Celtic won't win the Champions League. We know that. They might not win the Europa League, but it's still second best in terms that they've still got European football to play for. But my big thing is, again, and I agree with the caller, you, Chris, that you need to be prepared for next summer, but you cannot be preparing 2 weeks before summer. You need to be doing it now, not in January. Some of the January signings for the summer, I get that, but you need to have 14, 15, 16 minimum players that can start a game right now, not 11, 12 or even less than that.
Well, thank you to Chris, 0141 951 1025, on the phones. Keep your calls coming while I tell you about this.
Clyde One.
£400,000 could be in your bank this Friday, all thanks to Make Me a Winner. Russell won big last week and he was speechless when he got the call, and it could be you picking up the phone next. It's a guaranteed winner, there's no rollovers, and it's completely tax free. So get your place in the draw right now for your chance to win 400 grand on Friday. To enter, text yes to 61025, text or 250 plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemewinner.co.uk, where you'll find the phone entry details and all the rules for this network competition. It's over 18s only. Lines close at 5 o'clock on Friday. Just answer your phone and you will win the lot. £400,000 paid straight into your bank account after the call. So for your chance to take home the money, text yes to 61025 now.
Talking football. 6 until 8. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Five games in the Scottish Premiership tonight, and a lot of transfer talk as well. Celtic have signed three players so far today. More are expected to come. No signings for Rangers yet. A lot of teams in action, as I said. Some 7.45 kickoffs, an 8 o'clock kickoff between Falkirk and Rangers. We'll go there very shortly to get the team news, and it is some very interesting team news. I'll give you a bit of a teaser on that. However, let's go to the phones first. Jay is a Celtic fan in the Gorbals. Jay, how are you?
Hi guys, how you doing?
Good, Jay.
Good, thank you.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie, my point of coming on the scoreboard tonight came quite fast based on the information that's come out, obviously through X, formerly Twitter, about obviously the Torino midfielder that Celtic were after. I believe his name is Francis Durantis. Seems to have fallen through. I just think it's a complete and utter embarrassment. In all honesty, like, I know that you've just started off by saying we've signed three players there. It's very well mentioned those three players are all on loan. Two of the players, well, I think it's technically four, because I know that the boy from Chelsea at left-back's now came. Oh, no, sorry, because the boy from last night is well on loan. Yeah, I mean, only one of these four signings on loan have an option to buy with it. And let's be real, the two boys from Chelsea have just signed contracts with the club. They're not going to be here next year, no matter how well they do here. Chelsea are going to want these guys back. So how is that improving the Celtic squad going forward for next year's Champions League qualifiers, which we failed miserably this year? I mean, you look at that Celtic squad, like, you've watched the game, like, you should be able to tell me. Celtic don't have any solidity in the team. There's no, yeah, we've got good technical players on the ball. There's nobody with any dig in that team. I mean, look, you finished your Champions League playoff final with the back four, with Dane Murray, Anthony Ralston, Liam Scales at left back, and then Austin Trusty, who's just played a full summer at the World Cup almost. It's like, why are we not looking at guys at centre half? Somebody that's going to come in there, but we've let a guy like Naroki go, who, every time I saw him, I know there's been numerous managers there that apparently didn't rate him. I don't know what they saw, because when he's come in and saw, he's been a lot more solid. And then you've basically, until today, you had a guy at Liam Scales who was covering as a centre-back and a left-back. Kieran Tierney's out injured. It's like, and you're not going to pay the apparently estimate that Torino wanted €8 million for this guy. We've just went and sold Hatate for €6.5 million. That's the exact fee there. So why are you not replacing a player that we need, a holding midfielder, like a number six, somebody that Celtic desperately need when the money's there? I've actually went and had a look before coming on. He's obviously on transfer market. I've done a bit of work now for the players we've let go, going by figures to what we've spent. Celtic have apparently brought in £46.3 million this summer on sales and only spent £27 million. And then if you add on the money we've got, get out of the Europa League, I know the Champions League would have been a lot more. So why can we not spend the £6.5 million to go and get this guy for Torino that's apparently been a main transfer target all summer?
Are you surprised at the number of loan deals that Celtic are doing late in the window? Do you think that's been impacted by not getting Champions League football? Could it just come down to... What do you reckon, Tony?
Well, the Sorensen one's got an option to buy, is it not? So that's a centre mid, basically, and try before you buy, right? So that's not... It's better doing that than spending £5 million. It turns out not to be great and you lose £5 million. So that's not bad. That's why teams that get the option to buy have the upper hand, so I don't mind that one. Plus Vandenberg's coming in, mm-hmm. bought, so there's two straight away. Then that's two midfielders in the building. Now Celtic have got 1, 2, 3, 7 permanent centre mids, and I think that's six permanent and one try before you buy in Sorensen, so I think that's okay. The Chelsea left back and the striker, I'm hoping that they're really good. I think one of them won't be in the Europa League squad. I've just got a feeling about that, and I think it'll be the striker. For some reason, I just feel like, I don't know the numbers wise, but I think Celtic have got a lot of players. It might be, it might not be, but I think the left back definitely will, because Tierney needs somebody that can share minutes with him, because we know that Tierney's not going to play every minute in the season. Now, I don't know much about Giannettis. I'd like to think that Celtic have got a marquee centre mid coming in, but possibly they don't. But I think Celtic's business has been all right. I'll be honest, and I'll put my neck in the line here. I don't want to see Celtic spending more than they bring in. I think you need to be sustainable in this age. I think if Celtic bring in 50 million, they should not be spending over 50 million. And that's just my opinion, because...
But they're still short, Tony, in what they've actually brought in so far.
I agree, I'll definitely. And I think if they can go and spend another 10 million on one or two players, then I think they're nearly there. I think their signings over the last 5-6 weeks have definitely helped to bridge that gap, but I still think they need a couple more. I definitely do, but I wouldn't like to see Celtic spending more than they bring in. Now, when you add the Europa League money in that, Celtic will then be so sustainable that for years to come, they will be at a level where other teams won't be able to reach them. They should have been last year. It was a backward step. We all know
but
that.
Is that not also what fans have been saying, that this has been happening every summer for years, and Celtic have then failed to get in the Champions League through qualifiers for a number of times running? So yes, Celtic are sustainable and have a lot more money than everyone else, but are they? When's the point that they then have a go at the Champions League?
So last season, my biggest gripe, and I've been consistent with it, is in January they signed players that were not fit and were not playing games, so they did not improve the team. But this year they've brought in Duran, Champions League quality, and Ho, Champions League quality at the front end, to fix the biggest problem for me, which was through the middle, striker, somebody holds the ball up and gets goals. Now, Celtic don't have a magic wand in terms of going to sign 22 players this window and they all gel, and this is going to take time if you bring in that many players. And do you know what? One or two probably won't work out. We know that. But I think their business so far covers all the boxes. They've got Champions League quality. They've got young players to develop. They've got a loan centre mid that they can buy whenever they want to pull that trigger. And they've got young cover and left back, striker, so, and a goalkeeper. I don't think they're far off of being a good window.
No, we'll leave that there, because we will go to the Falkirk Stadium. Alison McConnell has some big team news for us there.
Here at Falkirk, as Rangers line up to take on Falkirk, and the big headline news for Rangers fans is that Nico Raskin starts tonight's game against Falkirk. So it will be just two changes from that team who beat Aberdeen at Pittodrie on Sunday afternoon. So it's Ivor Pandur in goal. Nedel Djokovic comes in for Sterling. Emmanuel Fernandez, Oluwetu Makinhanya, James Penrice, Cammy Devlin and Raskin. And then it'll be Finlay Curtis, Kim Minsu, Shedai Gisama and Lawrence Shankland leading the line for Rangers. And on the bench is Kelly McCrory, Godfrey Chukwane, Yokota McCausland, Majofsky, Nadiri and Dragojevic. And as soon as we've got Falkirk team news, we'll bring it straight to you.
The Nico Raskin story takes another turn. Not only is he back in the squad, straight in the starting lineup. What does that tell you?
Well, it tells me that there's nothing imminent, because obviously they were obviously taking him out the team the last couple of games. So it's an interesting saga, this.
He's staying?
Well, listen, it would suggest that there's nothing bubbling away, hence the reason why they're throwing him back into the mix. So it begs the question, why did they get to this place where they didn't play in two key games? Thankfully for Rangers, they won on Sunday, but the big one would have been the European tie last Thursday that just wasn't available because there were ongoing talks. But when the manager then turns around and says that there's no been any bids, I still find it hard to believe why this guy hasn't featured.
01419511025 on the phones. We're still building up to those games tonight. Four of them kick off at 7:45. Then Falkirk against Rangers is an 8 o'clock kickoff. Maybe you want to talk about transfers. We will take a look around the rest of the Premiership and see what business they are doing. And we're going to play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Your chance to take on either Alex Ray or Tony Watt at Beat the Pundit. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Ring before 7 o'clock, you could be up next.
6 till 8 weeknights. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 0141 951 1025.
Still an hour of your calls to come on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We're building up to a big night of Premiership action. Kilmarnock against St Mirren, Motherwell against Dundee United, Celtic take on Aberdeen. It's Dundee against St Johnstone, and slightly later at 8 o'clock, Rangers travel to Falkirk. But there is a transfer deadline to be dealing with as well tomorrow at 5 o'clock, so lots of deals being done. Celtic have already signed 3 today. Still no confirmation on Kevin Kelsey at Rangers. Talk of Nico Raskin, what's his future like, despite the fact that he is starting tonight's game against Falkirk after missing out on the last 2 or 3 matches. So you can let us know what you think. 0141 951 1025. Let's go. Let's play this, shall we?
Yeah, go for it.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Who was it that played out of you two, Tony?
Mr. Ray.
Oh, was it Alex? Oh, you lost on Sunday, didn't you?
Wow.
That's just a given.
The guy was good.
Bad form.
Did he get 7?
6, I think he got. Yeah, he wasn't bad. That's the second time he's took me
to the cleaners.
To the cleaners, yes.
And you were a 7-3 win last Wednesday.
Yep, and
good going.
I'm really enjoying it at the moment.
Yeah, good form. Right, we'll see how Ryan and Motherwell gets on. Ryan, have you played before?
No, I've not.
Who would you rather face out of these two?
Alex Ray, I think.
That's a given, son. You're guaranteed it.
How do you normally get on, Ryan, when you're playing along at home?
I know bad, but I mean, it's a lot more pressure on the phone, isn't it?
That is true. So we'll see how you get on. It will be. And by the way, during the break, Alex was saying to me that he's not fancying it tonight because his eyes are stinging from sitting in the sauna for too long. You're meant to be like a hard man back in the day. What's happened to you?
Can't handle.
You can't play
heat,
Beat the Pundit because your eyes are stinging from sitting in the sauna.
It's terrible, isn't it?
Midfield hard man.
By the way, bad life, eh? Terrible life sitting in a sauna all day.
It's a big first world problem right there.
What can you say?
You get no defence for it.
No.
Right, anyway, we'll be the blue side of the Beat the Pundit coin for Tony Watt. We'll be the red side of the coin for Alex Ray. And it is the red side of the Alex Ray. As if I could have stitched that up.
I'd love to see the numbers. How many times when me and him are on together that he's got up.
Is it normally him?
Every time.
Right, we'll put something else in the ear of Alex Ray so he cannot hear us. We'll give him 30 seconds of recovery time and we'll let Ryan play Beat the Pundit. For you, Ryan, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out time-wise. Is that all good?
Yeah, no worries.
Right, let's go for it. Name any former Celtic player who now plays for Swansea.
Adam Eder.
James Tavernier's reported new side, Maccabi Tel Aviv, are managed by which former Rangers striker?
Kenny Miller.
Which Scottish club was granted licence this week to sell alcohol at home games?
Kilmarnock.
Which Manchester United manager gave Scott McTominay his senior debut in 2017?
Mourinho.
The 2019-20 Challenge Cup was sponsored by which cake and biscuit making company?
McGee's.
Which Scottish Premiership side has scored only one league goal?
Falkirk.
Okay, we will bring Alex Ray back in. You prepared?
The only good thing about that was a good wee song. I think it was Bronski beat. Are you looking at?
What you'd wrote down?
I didn't write it down.
All right.
What's going on here?
He says I'm looking straight down. That's what I wrote down there.
All right.
Tony's just trying to get involved. Right, Tony, you stay on the bench, right, and we'll have Alex play. You're trying to distract him, I think. I think you're trying to put him off.
I wasn't doing anything.
Right, 30 seconds for Alex Ray. Let's go. Name any former Celtic player who now plays for Swansea.
Turnbull.
James Tavernier's new reported new side, Maccabi Tel Aviv, are managed by which former Rangers striker? Which Scottish club was granted licence to sell alcohol last week at home games?
Pass.
Which Manchester United manager gave Scott McTominay his senior debut in 2017?
Louis Van Gaal.
The 2019-20 Challenge Cup was sponsored by which cake and biscuit making company? Which Scottish Premiership side have scored only one league goal?
Falkirk.
Okay. How do you think that went, Ryan?
don't know, it could be quite close, I think.
We'll see.
It's almost close when Alan Fulton.
Right, name any former Celtic player who now plays for Swansea. Who did you... You said Turnbull.
Yeah,
David Turnbull.
No, I know you said Cardiff, but the thing is, I was trying to think of the centre-half. It was at Motherwell last year.
You were thinking of Stephen Welsh.
That's who I was
who
thinking
was correct.
About, yes.
You could have also had Adam Ida.
I wouldn't go down, no.
Ryan
weekend, didn't he?
Did get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I know.
So it goes 1-0 to Ryan. James Tavernier's reported new side, Maccabi Tel Aviv, are managed by which former Rangers striker? You both said Kenny Miller. You both got it correct. 2-1. Which Scottish club was granted licence last week to sell alcohol at home games? It is Dundee. So remains 2-1 to Ryan.
Did you vote that, Tony?
I wrote Dundee United then.
Right, okay.
Which Manchester United manager gave Scott McTominay his senior debut in 2017? Ryan got it. He said Jose Mourinho. You went for Louis van Gaal. 3-1. The 2019-20 Challenge Cup was sponsored by which cake and biscuit making company? Tunnocks is the correct answer. So Alex pulls one back. It is 3-2. Got to the final question. Which Scottish Premiership side has scored only one league goal?
Goal is a tiebreaker. Good Scotland, mate. I know it is.
Ryan also said Falkirk, and Ryan wins. Oh, it's so much better that you thought you'd equalised there.
I thought you said that he never got to that.
Oh, he did. He did. Oh. And he said Falkirk, well done, and he Ryan. Got it right. It's got to be a lot sweeter since he was just celebrating going to a tiebreaker there, Ryan.
Terrible, man.
Celebrate with a wee tonic tonight. By the way, I'd have been beat tonight.
Yeah.
Comfortably beat tonight.
Unbelievable. I keep getting threes. It's just not enough.
Wow. Who's your team, Ryan?
Celtic.
How are you feeling about the how are you feeling about the transfer business that's been done? What's yet to come?
Just the same old, to be honest, on the sort of deadline day, all the scrambling for the loans. It's a bit not really happy about it, to be honest.
Is it frustrating that, you know, a lot of it is happening today ahead of the Europa League deadline, ahead of tomorrow the deadline? Would you have liked this to have happened beforehand against Glasgow? Glenn's got a few of these players in.
That's what I mean, definitely. If we got even half of them in, we've got to give ourselves a much better chance of progressing. It's just same old Celtic, isn't it?
What are the priorities now? It looks as if, I mean, Joel Vandenberg hasn't been announced yet, but I think he's been pictured at Celtic Park tonight, so that's only a matter of time. Three confirmed today, one confirmed last night. What are the areas of need going into the deadline?
I think, as everyone knows, number six, I know the guy Genetis has been linked, but that doesn't seem to be progressing, it seems like. So I think if we get another midfielder, that would definitely help, but we'll need to wait and see, I suppose.
There are, I mean, we spoke earlier on just about how many central midfielders. Would you, despite the fact that Celtic, you know, have been in talks with United, looks as if they want another central midfielder, do you think they'd be fine, get away with not having one in, just given the sheer number of bodies in that area?
Yeah,
have they got enough variety in there? Essentially,
I think they could do more with a centre back, even if it was another project one. Unless they see Dane Murray as that guy, which is totally fair as well. But I think in centre mid, they look quite stacked, to be honest. They've got four options off the bench. I don't see why not, why they would go and spend more money. But look, I think Celtic will pull something out of the bag. I don't know what, but I just feel like their business isn't done yet. Even the ones linked, I think there's something else coming in.
Yeah, potentially. Let's see the boy Bower. Is he a replacement for Callum McGregor?
No, he's more further up.
Is he more further?
He seems more of a Hatate type, doesn't he?
Right, so he's more of an eight, because obviously also Chamberlain can play in the six as well, because he's got that experience.
What about
in Guile?
Sorensen?
I haven't seen enough of him.
Another eight?
Yeah, see, that is a tougher one, because, and what I think is quite interesting with a lot of Celtic signings over the past couple of days, there have been a lot of names that have been linked for weeks and weeks. See, all the ones that have actually, say, apart from Landon Emenalo, you know, Chimweka, Sam Johnston, Oliver Sorensen, Joe Vandenberg, these names actually hadn't really been banded about up until the last few days. So you wonder whether they'd just been kept quiet by Celtic, whether they'd missed out on targets and have gone for them, whether they've had to change strategy because they didn't get into the Champions League. But it certainly looks as if they've maybe, for whatever reason, been going in a different direction.
Yeah, well, we'll never know that because of what happened in the Champions League qualifier last week. However, I think the boy Sam Johnson kind of very much falls into the category, if you look at Joe Hart and then obviously Kasper Schmeichel. You know, he's obviously a little bit younger than them, but get experience in the English Premiership, worked his way through the divisions. So, you know, he looks as if he's an ample replacement. I think Wolves paid £10 million for this guy.
I don't mind that signing at all.
I think
experience is needed, and at one point, like you said, £10 million, you can't sniff at that. And Joe Hart was a success, and Kasper Schmeichel before the shoulder was a success as well. Obviously at the end he was playing through injury, and it kind of ended badly, but I think the Johnson one's not a bad one. I think they probably needed a goalkeeper, and what's the point in spending £10 million on a goalkeeper this late in the window when you can go and get somebody that you know is should be a ready-made starter?
Anything or anyone you're most excited about seeing in action tonight, Ryan?
Good to see Hassan from the beginning again. He looked promising on Saturday, so hopefully more to come from him.
Yeah, some real flashes of that, you know, electric pace, how good he is one-on-one. Looks like an absolute nightmare for fullbacks. I think Sean Maloney said previously that he's maybe not up to speed because I don't think he did a pre-season with Real Oviedo. But, you know, the quicker Celtic can get him up to speed, he could be a real asset going forward, do you feel, from the glimpses you've seen?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the wingers that have been at Celtic, we spoke about it on Sunday, that get you off your seat, I think he really looks like one of them. And look, there'll be frustrating times with him, Gerrard, these players, because they'll lose the ball a lot more than other players due to the fact they'll be taking people on. But when it really clicks, these will be the guys that you pay money to go in and see. And by all accounts, his stats in terms of dribbling and expected assists are very high. And no, I'd expect him to go and do well. I seen his goal against Argentina that got cuttled off in the World Cup. It was just top class. And hopefully he comes and does that straight away.
Thank you to Ryan. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We have plenty of time to get your calls in before the kickoffs. Four of the games kicking off in half an hour's time at 7:45. And then it is an 8 o'clock kickoff between Falkirk and Rangers at the Falkirk Stadium. We will get some of the teams from some of the other games. Just looking at the teams from the Motherwell Dundee United game, and there is a start for Jardel Kanga. What an impact he had off the bench. An incredible goal at the weekend. I think Motherwell fans will be quite excited to see him from the start because he's come with quite a decent reputation. They've spent a decent bit of money on him.
Must they pay for him?
I think initially the reports I saw were quite strange, actually. It was as if it was, I think, £350,000 that could potentially rise to somewhere around £900,000. So a lot of add-ons in there.
Yeah.
But those were just sort of reported fees that I'd seen.
Well, listen, he started very well, and the Motherwell fans will be looking for more of that. His strike at the weekend was incredible.
Top class finish, and he's a youth internationalist as well, I'm sure. Is it Sweden?
Yep.
So these are the profiles that Motherwell are going for. Similar to St Mirren's, are going a lot younger, but even Dylan Levitt, I don't know if he's starting tonight, but again, I played with Dylan. Top class operator, really, really technical. And Motherwell, which impresses me, is they've made a lot of money over the last couple of years, and they've stayed down the same route in terms of players that fit their system, players they can maybe sell on again. And yeah, it's a club that seems to be thriving, and it's an absolutely fantastic club. Honestly, one of the most enjoyable times in my life is playing for Motherwell, and it's good to see them flourishing.
Dylan Levitt is on the bench, but starting for Dundee United, Will Ferry. So are they confident that he could well remain? It would be it'd be big if they managed to, just the impact
think,
he has for them.
It would be a real bonus for Jim Goodwin if he remained. I think they've offered him an extended contract as well, which obviously secures the sort of an extension. They've offered him an extension.
Is he out of contract next summer?
I'm not exactly sure when he's out.
I think he signed when I was there 2 years ago, and maybe he signed 3-9 option, but
yeah. But the good thing about it is if they see him throughout this window, then that'll be a real bonus, because he brings real quality down that left-hand side. He's a driving force, and defensively he's very good also.
Yeah, contract through to 2027, so one year left
maybe
on his
but
deal.
But to see that, you would hope that he signs a contract with a similar release clauses to help the club, and the club help him, maybe give him a few quid in his pocket. But he's been a revelation. Even experience-wise, you can see by the way he plays, he just keeps going. Was it the Rangers game? Was it a Rangers game or was it a Celtic game? He was outstanding. I think it was a Rangers game. And you're saying it's a no-brainer for £2 million or whatever the fee is, but Celtic have obviously went down a different route. And I genuinely thought he'd have been away this window. I think Anderlecht have pulled their interest, haven't they? But it's an interesting one to see what Dundee United are doing there, because that's not money to be sniffed at.
Just before we go to the phones, how big a night is it for Kilmarnock and Neil McCann? Because
massive.
Three games in the league, three defeats, 13 goals conceded. Neil McCann speaking yesterday saying, you know, there's no panic setting in. He was being quite defiant about it all, but if they don't win tonight and they concede a few goals, I think there certainly will just be question marks over the team and the direction they're heading in.
Yeah, well, listen, I think he's obviously got credit in the bank for what he did last year. I think, you know, he did very well last year. However, you know, with the amount of goals that they're actually shipping at the moment, it was interesting. I listened to him speaking, saying that they won't change the philosophy, they won't change the way they're going to play. So if it continues in the manner which it's doing, the credit in the bank will soon dissipate, and you know, there'll be a cry for Neil to change his system or become a little bit more kind of compact, because at the moment they're far too wide open and conceding too many goals.
Up against a St Mirren team who played some really good stuff at the weekend against Motherwell.
Yeah, again, St Mirren are similar to Motherwell in terms of they're going a little bit more data driven, they're going a bit younger, and yeah, the goal they scored at the weekend was unbelievable. The boy John taking it off Masvanisi and then finishing it the other side.
That's a striker's finish, wasn't it?
Yeah, and even the play in between, just two touch sharp.
It's been
a big topic in terms of playing fast and playing forward, and they seem to be doing it. Everybody wrote St Mirren off. Everybody said they were going to be the team that goes down, and I wasn't sure what they were going to do. Obviously, I didn't know what their kind of strategy would be. I seen their signings in the summer, didn't know many of them, so I didn't really have a big opinion on it, but they seem to be going down the right route, and especially at this part of the season, getting so many points on the board, it can only be a good thing, and it can let the manager, who has done a great job, people were questioning him as well, he came in at a tough time last season. It's gave him the opportunity to do what he wants to do. By all accounts, he's a good coach and he likes to play good football, so it seems to be going the right direction so far.
01419511025. After the break, we're going to speak to Ross, who is a Rangers fan, and I'll set up a teaser for these two.
It's game on until 8. 01419511025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Take your pick when it comes to talking points on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We have games kicking off in around 20 minutes time. Some real interesting Premiership ties. Celtic against Aberdeen, Dundee against St Johnstone, Kilmarnock against St Mirren, Motherwell taking on Dundee United. Then 15 minutes after that, Falkirk host Rangers at the Falkirk Stadium. Of course, there is a transfer deadline coming up in less than 24 hours, 5 o'clock tomorrow. So by tomorrow's show, we will know exactly how all the squads are looking ahead of the new season. So whatever you want to talk about, 01419511025. Celtic have confirmed 3 signings today. Shim Weka on loan from Chelsea, Sam Johnson on loan from Wolves, Landon Emanalo on loan from Chelsea as well. Big news for Rangers is that Nico Raskin starts tonight's game against Falkirk despite the transfer interest around him. Looks as if Tello Asgard is on his way out to Anderlecht for possibly £6 million. Kevin Kelsey still not confirmed. So any of those talking points, take your fancy. 01419511025. Let's set this up for the guys before we go back to the
Lovely.
Phones.
The full-time teaser with Arcaplan Glasgow. Planning permission and building warrant drawings for home extension, conversion or renovation.
Thank you to our sponsors Arcaplan Glasgow, as always, for the full-time teaser, and thank you to Chris and Wisha for sending this one in. The 4 visiting teams that will be playing at Celtic Park in the Europa League, so Marseille, Ferencvaros, Celta Vigo and Besiktas, include 7 players that used to play for either Celtic or Rangers. Can you name them? So 4 visiting teams in the Europa League at Celtic Park this season are Marseille, Ferencvaros, Celta Vigo and Besiktas. And between them, they have 7 players that used to play for either Celtic or Rangers. Can you name them? Don't mind that as a question
so
at all.
Besiktas, Marseille, Celta Vigo and who?
Ferencvaros.
Starfelt for Celta Vigo.
Correct.
Besiktas.
Don't like that noise. That's not sounding...
How many do you say there is?
7.
7?
6 now, because we have Carl Starfield.
It's going to be a long 30 minutes.
The Ferencvaros one is throwing me. I've got one for the other two, but...
Do you want to throw out another?
Timo Weah?
Correct. At Marseille. Good shout from you. Right, 2 down. We have 5 to go. Let's go to the phones. Ross is a Rangers fan in Ayr. Ross, what are you thinking tonight?
Are they Gordon here, aye?
No, it's Andrew tonight. With Tony and Alex.
Aye, Gordon's hiding. He doesn't think Rangers are going to win tonight. What I'm going to say is, when they're asking, hope that's him back full fitness. I want to see him play. He's hot out tonight.
Do you think he's staying then? Do you think the fact he's starting means he's definitely staying?
Well, I would like to think so, but they want to sell him. But I would like to see him Raskin staying, because he's a good player.
Would Would you have any concerns, I suppose, if Derek McInnes had any concerns about there being distractions about Nico Raskin? He wouldn't have played him, he wouldn't have started him. Clearly he thinks he's in the right mindset to play tonight, and I don't know what Nico Raskin's mindset going into it. Is it, you know, is he in the shop window? Is he still looking for a move? Has he decided that he is going to stay at Rangers and there's nothing out there for him? Well, time will tell.
I think so, and I think over the past couple of days, Derek McInnes is saying if nothing transpires, then they'll welcome Nico back into the ranks and he'll be happy to work with him going forward. So I just think this situation that's arose has caused a little kind of bit of a stir with the fans, because they felt as if he was going to go. Obviously, there's been... The manager came out a couple of days ago and says that they had been in discussions with a few clubs as well, and nothing was concrete. There was no offers on the table, and they've obviously missed opportunities to play him. However, he's back in the fold now tonight, and it's up to him to then kind of buckle down. One of the things as well is if he stays this season, and I think he's probably going into the last year in his contract next summer. So, you know, that gives him a lot of power. The value of the player also diminishes because he's going into the last year. So, but I don't have any reservations about Nico Raskin firing into tackles not tonight.
Is it a frustration for you, Ross, that you didn't play in those Jablonec games, you know, which were so vital? It's not to say that Rangers definitely would have had European football if he'd started those games, but would Rangers have had a better chance? Do you wish he had played in those games?
Oh, of course I would, aye. And I'd also want to say as well, I just thought Shanklin plays tonight. And if Shanklin doesn't play tonight, that boy's as well just gone sailing up. Because I don't know what.
He is starting tonight.
Like, cause, I mean, some days he's getting a game, other days he's not getting a game. The boys will just say, look, time's up. I just don't think it's fair. Shanklin's a brilliant player, and we're making Shanklin on the park all the time.
Yeah, he got his goal at the weekend. It was a big pressure penalty. He took it really well. I suppose, you know, getting the best out of Lauren Shanklin, you need players around him that he's going to link with that are going to supply him as well. Are Rangers looking a bit more creative with that three in behind the striker that they played at the weekend?
Yeah, I think tonight will be a big night for him in a positive way, because I think in a game like this on Astro, you need to hold the ball up through the middle and link to get other people involved, and I think that's his game. I think his confidence has shown that the good parts of his game, maybe wee bits of luck haven't been falling for him, but I think the more that of the weekend would have done him the world of good. It was a great penalty, great pressure, great mentality. He took it really well. I think that tonight he'll have a decent game because he'll have runners off him. He can hold it in. He can drop into the pocket and let people go.
Beyond.
I think this is the type of game perfect for him. And I do. I've always said that. I think he'll kick on and score goals, even at the weekend, the one at the back post. 9 out of 10 other times that goes in. And they've done well to clear it. It's just, he's in one of the periods where it's the opposite of a purple patch where everything goes in for you. He's in the other one, and I think that he'll score a lot of goals, and I think they'll need to in the next week or two, because when this new striker comes in, if you're paying £10 million, he's going to need to play it. And I know he can play in the number 10 behind him, but you're expecting a £10 million player to come in and be the main man.
Yeah, I'm intrigued by that shape that Rangers played at the weekend. Looks like they're playing tonight, that 4-2-3-1. There's been a lot of talk about Rangers having a lot of central midfielders, and a lot of them are maybe a bit more defensive-minded. When you're playing a 4-2-3-1, you've got that number 10 role. Is there really natural options in there? Kim Min-soo played at the weekend, obviously made a good impact, but does look as if he's more of a winger. Telo Asgard's maybe the only sort of natural number 10 in the squad. Looks as if he's away to Anderlecht. The Rangers need to do any business there, or do you feel that, you know, Shanklin can maybe drop a bit deeper if he's playing with Kevin Kelsey and that can work?
Yeah, no, listen, I think that happened last year as well, where Shanklin played off of Bragger at times and vice versa. And but Min-soo did really well at the weekend. I was impressed with him, albeit it's only one game, so you can't get too carried away, but he looked sharp, he looked bright, he looked to go on the front foot. But Asgard, you know, if he does move on, will that free up more money to bring someone of a similar kind of stature, like a match winner, someone who can thread passes through? So potentially they may well bring another player on the back of Kelsey.
Ross, in terms of the business, Derek McInnes said yesterday that there's a chance it may only be one player coming in before the deadline, Kevin Kelsey. Are you hoping to see more than that, or you would be fine if it's just him?
I'd be fine if it was just him. I just want Rangers to get on it now and let us just play some decent football. Instead of this high ball, high ball, high ball, high ball all the time. I'm sick of seeing high ball all the time. I want to see that ball on the ground and let's get Rangers to play football.
Well, thank you to Ross. We're going to speak to Stephen on the line shortly. I think there are some Dennett McInnes quotes from Rangers TV on Tello Asgard from tonight. He says, Tello is speaking to the club now, maybe going through a medical, but I don't think it's finalised yet. But it looks really likely that Tello's season is going to be with somebody else, and we wish him well if that is the case. Kind of has come out of nowhere a little bit, but his development over the last few weeks has been interesting, because it almost looked in the early stages of the campaign that he might have been one of the main men for Rangers this season. Dennett McInnes had spoken quite highly of him, the fact that, you know, he didn't take a big break after the World Cup, but he's fallen out of the team and is falling out the plans completely now.
Yeah, listen, I think it's been a really frustrating time for him at the football club. I think there was moments last year where you say, oh, this boy's got a little bit of ability, but it was too infrequent, you didn't see it often enough. And I think he struggled for consistency. Even when you look at, I thought he'd done the goal he scored against Dundee United where he chops on his left foot. He clearly has ability, this boy, but you just don't see it often enough. And I think for all parties, I think £6 million, that would be an uplift in what they signed for him as well. So, you know, I would imagine that the business will get done. I think the way Dennett McInnes is speaking as well, he's just hedging his bets. It looks as if it's going to be done. So potentially they may well go and get another player.
The fact that he's leaving looks to be a fee of £6 million. Does that make it more likely that Raskin stays if you're getting money for another player losing a midfielder? Yeah. I know they're obviously different, but... Yeah,
different profiles. I think, as I said a couple of weeks ago, that the middle of the park was absolutely bloated. I had them about seven or eight players, and then obviously Diamandé left, and then you're obviously seeing Conor Barron last night. Asgard, it looks as if he's going to be going as well, so... Yeah, listen, as I said, as a manager like Dennett McInnes, you cannot have 30 players or 30 plus players in the building. It's a nightmare to try and organise training. It's a nightmare to try and create a culture when you've got 10 guys that are constantly sitting in the stand on match days. So, you know, for me, you need to try and trim some of the fat.
Hey, Stephen is a Celtic fan. My screen tells me that you're normally in the UAE, but tonight you're in Kirkintilloch. A wee bit of a change.
Good evening, gentlemen. Thanks very much for taking my call. Yeah, return from the sun to the traditional pouring rain.
What a time for you to come back.
No, listen, guys. No, thanks very much for taking my call. My points were just kind of based around, obviously, Celtic's activity in the transfer market. Listen, you know, the forward line that they've come in, listen, great players, but sadly, 18 months too late for me. You know, we're just starting to replace the likes of Kyogo and stuff like that was long overdue. Typical Celtic, you know, too late in their transfer business. Ultimately, you know, gaping holes in the defence in their last European exit there. Kind of laughable when you look at some of the squad players that we've got in there. I just feel as if this board is miles and miles and miles away from the fans. You know, we as fans, we don't demand we don't demand £100 million to be spent every single season, but what we're paying the price now for Celtic's inability to add three or four quality signings over the last two or three years, we failed to get rid of players that should have left. We hold on to them ever so long, and ultimately when you look at this boy Fiorino, who's probably and technical ability to what Engels was, we now look as if we can't get that over the line due to money, when we're probably sitting about 20 plus million in positive money just based on transfers alone, never minding the 70 or 80 million pounds that we've already got in the bank. You know what I mean? I find it laughable.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know exactly what's happening with the Giannakis deal. The reports are that Torino would have accepted an offer of around €8 million, and it's that Celtic aren't willing to go to that. We don't know if that's definitely true or not, but you can see why Celtic supporters maybe wouldn't be happy if that was true, just given the fact that, you know, it has kind of been the same old story for a long time. And it maybe looked at one point that this window would be different. There were, you know, some real big options that came in earlier on in the window, but as Stephen says, there maybe just weren't the number of players in ahead of those last games that were enough to see the squad through and were enough to satisfy the supporters.
Yeah, I said that a couple of calls ago where I felt as if that's the kind of gripe by the Celtic fans, that they're not getting their business done early enough. I think the fact that up until a couple of days ago that they had only signed four, which was the lowest out of the 42 teams, you know, in the SPFL. So I think there's a general frustration there, and But, you know, they're obviously trying to kind of do catch up for a lot of Celtic fans. I feel as if that is far too late and the business should have been done earlier. You know, an interesting thing about it is Stephen's obviously said that there's a real frustration with the Celtic fans, and the board have been doing this similar model for several years now, hence the reason why people are coming on same old, and they feel as if it's far too late after Lord Mayor's show, and they're already into the Europa League where they had a real opportunity to get to the Champions League group stages.
What are you thinking tonight, Stephen?
I would like to listen. I think Aberdeen, I've seen that I've obviously heard on the radio that they're coming in with five at the back, you know, so they're probably going to try and stifle the back, hold the midfield, and try and limit Celtic's attacking opportunities down the wings and stuff like that. With the way that the Celtic team's playing just now, you know, I would take any form of victory at this moment in time. I think Celtic are playing with confidence. Aberdeen will come and work hard and try and stifle the team. Is what they do when they come to both sides of the Glasgow teams, you know, they come down and try and stifle it. They'll play to their strengths. And it'll be up to us to try and break them down. I would kind of like to see some of the new boys that are playing, if we can get, as I seen Tony said earlier on, if we can get a wee goal or two ahead, kind of allows you maybe to bed these guys in and let them, give them a wee bit of experience and see if they can hit the ground running. But tonight I would take any form of victory at this moment in time, because I think Celtic look quite shaky at the back. I'm not sure that Aberdeen maybe have the firepower tonight, but, you know, some of the stronger teams, I think, will ultimately be able to hurt Celtic at the back. I think it's quite glaring when you see them, you know.
Thank you to Stephen. Let's do some work on this teaser. The four visiting teams that will be playing at Celtic Park in the Europa League, Marseille, Ferencvaros, Celta Vigo and Besiktas, include seven players that used to play for either Celtic or Rangers. Can you name them? You have Timo Weah at Marseille and Carl Starfelt at Celta Vigo.
Barkas?
No.
Right, okay. That's my only one.
Ferencvaros one's getting me, but I think...
That's a tough one.
I think is it an ex-Celtic put at Ferencvaros?
Yeah.
Yeah, I
don't know why I'm giving you hints already.
Baldy?
No.
Robbie Keane might have signed him, I can't fully remember. I've got Cherny.
Yes, Václav Cherny at Besiktas, of course.
You'll know another one at Besiktas, you'd have coached...
Yilmaz.
Yep.
Ridvan Yilmaz, correct. We will go to Celtic Park and we will go back to the Falkirk Stadium after the break.
Taking your calls 7 days a week. Weeknights, Saturdays and Sundays 4-7. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Just kicking off in the 7:45 matches. Let's go to Celtic Park if we can. Celtic against Aberdeen. Gabriel Antoniadze's there.
Yes, and through the two captains, Callum McGregor and Kevin Nisbet, just shaking hands at the moment with the referee. The last time the Dons beat Celtic in 90 minutes was the final game of the 2017-18 season. That's 34 encounters between the two. An unbelievable record. Celtic will hope to extend that tonight and extend their perfect domestic start to the season, whilst Aberdeen's tough start to the league could get even worse unless Stephen Robinson can pull something out of the bag. Let's quickly run through the teams again as Celtic enter the huddle. Just to the left of me, Sinisalo in goal, Donovan, Carter-Vickers, Trusty and Scales the back four, McGregor, Oxlade-Chamberlain and Negrin in midfield with Hassan, Duran and Yang up top. For the visitors, it's 5-3-2, Muller in goal, Cadden, Noster, Mayo, Malloy, Guinness-Walker as a back five, Aremu, Breedle and Armstrong in midfield with Malua and Nisbet up top. Stuart Armstrong, formerly of this parish, now in red, stands over the ball and we are moments away from kickoff here in the East End.
Yeah, Gabriel talking there about how Aberdeen's record against Celtic isn't great, but Stephen Robinson's record with St Mirren against Celtic wasn't too bad. He did get some big results against them. Obviously, it's going to be a change of style for Aberdeen this season, or it has been over the last wee while, but he's managed to properly implement that over the summer. He'll be going there probably playing a very similar game plan as he did with his St Mirren team and hoping to find success that he did at times.
Yeah, I think Stephen Robinson's very, very good defensively. I played under him at Motherwell. I thought we played some good football at times, especially the year before I came in. I had came into the tail end of it and the boys were flying. They were playing some good football. But what he's good at is setting a team up how to press, how to be good against the ball. And everybody knows their role. And there's no surprise why they get good results against the big teams because every single person knows their job. I think he's unfairly branded with anti-football at times because I think he does. At times he plays some nice football. I think a lot of St Mirren fans would be thankful for the football they played under him. And look, there's a fine balance between total football and then being anti-football. I think somewhere in the middle he probably lies, and it's probably the best way to get results against Celtic and Rangers.
Yeah, Celtic had a really good first half at the weekend, not so good in the second half. They'll be hoping it's more of what they saw in the first half because there were some nice patterns of play.
Yeah.
And there were some quite good chances created, just didn't quite click in the second half.
Yeah, I think there's always that hangover from Europe physically when you come back for these ties. You know, exerted a lot of energy, and you can clearly see that in the second half against Falkirk. However, I expect them to be brighter tonight. They'll very much be on the front foot, but like a full house at Parkhead as well. So it'll be a difficult night for Stephen Robinson and Aberdeen. And what I will say is, if they've got a chance of getting anything from that, you know, Nesbitt is absolutely on fire. 9 goals in 8 games, which is a remarkable return when you think we're just into the early part of September. So listen, I think it'll be a good game down there.
Quite interested in the fact that Joel Vandenberg from PSV came off the team bus with Celtic, has been walking about the pitch, hasn't been announced yet. I mean, I know it's a little thing, he's obviously going to sign, but just a bit of a strange one, isn't it? That if you're there and the fans can see you, but it's not been announced on social media. I don't know, does he come out at half time and walk out onto the pitch and then Celtic sort of officially announce it at that point? But he is there and will sign.
I think it will be that. I think they've probably stayed at a hotel or had a day bed the day, and they've probably got him in about the squad, showing him around and getting him on the bus. There would be no reason not to have him in a mix. I know Celtic like to keep their business private, but everybody knows he's going to sign, and if the result's going well, they can just wheel him out at half time, show him about. It'll show him the...
You just looked at my face there. I was going to say, who did we say needed a good night tonight? No. Kilmarnock.
Oh no.
1-0 down already to St Mirren. Wow. At home to St Mirren. Fraser Taylor, who I actually don't think was initially meant to be starting the game.
He was at our place last year.
I don't think he was initially meant to be starting the game. I think he was meant to be on the bench. They got an injury, Fraser Taylor.
That's quite good because he was a victim of that with us. Remember, we went up to Elgin, travelled for his first start, 4 hours up to Elgin, took a shot in the warm up, to got to the stand. Yeah.
Wow, so it is an early lead for St Mirren at Rugby Park. That's now 14 goals conceded for Kilmarnock in three games in 4 minutes in the Premiership.
It's incredible. And listen, he clearly has a philosophy where he wants to play out for the back and expansive and obviously play an attacking brand, but you have to have the balance because the one thing that is fairly obvious is they're conceding goals willy-nilly, and it'll be a difficult time, you know, the fans. You imagine the fans going down there, and he says, I want them to come back and support me in midweek versus St Mirren. And if they're trapped up in their numbers again, then to start the game like that, it's obviously disappointing.
Early chance for, early opening for Celtic. Hassan beat his man twice on the outside, gets a ball in, no takers, but that's just kind of what you're expecting from him.
Beat him twice. Is that Gabriel's text? Yeah. Brilliant. Beat him twice.
Did it once and decided to go back again. Just ultimate humiliation.
Well, the good thing about it is the one thing about this boy is the more he gets up to speed as well. I think obviously finishing late in the World Cup would have hampered his pre-season, but you can clearly see he's got, again, the profile that Celtic have. He's very dynamic and he's happy to get after the fullback.
Yeah, we'll see if he can continue those flashes. I mean, he didn't get a goal or an assist at the weekend, but he's still getting up to speed and just getting the team forward and getting bums off of seats as well. It's just that excitement you can see under the lights tonight at Celtic Park when it's been raining all day and you turn up. That's the type of thing that supporters want to see. They want to see a winger just squaring up their fullback and going by them.
I think Celtic lacked that last season a little bit. I think that Maeda was more direct, more in front of goal. He was on fire at the end, and we spoke about Gassama at the weekend. I think he's the type of player Rangers need for that. They've not really been very exciting at the start of the season, and I think these two guys are the ones that you pay the money over the years, you pay the money to see these types of players, and I think both of them will have a really, really good season if they just do what they're doing. And I think Hassan, when he gets up to speed, I think he'll have fullbacks having nightmares at night after playing against him, because that run at the World Cup, you kind of do that out of luck. The one that he scored against Argentina, it gets called off. That was unbelievable.
The only game that we haven't really touched on, Dundee against St Johnstone. Stephen Presley looking to continue his good work.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think they struggled against Hibs. It could have been more that weekend. And but you have to say, Big Elvis has actually done a very good job up there again. A lot of turnover of players, so he'll be looking for his boys to bed in. But in saying that, I think St Johnson have actually started the season really well. They've got good players at the top end of the pitch. And there'll be no pushovers. So I think that'll be a really enjoyable game up there at Dens also.
How do you expect Rangers to get on against Falkirk tonight?
No, listen, I think they have to build on the weekend again. John McGlynn has his teams try to play through the middle of the park and try and play football in the right manner. They gave Celtic a good game at the weekend. I think it'll be difficult. I think that if you think back to last year, I think there was a lot of goals that Rangers scored against them. So Rangers should go into this with a bit of belief and they'll be looking to try and take the 3 points, because anything short of that, Celtic can extend the lead.
It was quite a fixture actually, Rangers away at Falkirk last season, because the two games, the last one was 6-3 post-split, right, yes. Was it? Yusuf Chermiti scored a hat-trick, and then the one before that was when Russell Martin got sacked and had the police escort out of Falkirk. I think Derek McInnes will be hoping for something a bit less dramatic than that.
I think that Rangers, is it only two changes tonight for Rangers? I think that's a positive sign. I think the fact that their front four stays the same.
The right back and Neil, the midfielder.
Yeah, I think the fact that their front four stays the same, knowing it, you're the shell as well, knowing the consistency you get by being able to continually do the things you're good at with Curtis, who's still a young player, Gassama, even Kim Minsu coming in the door, and also Shankland to try to get goals. I think that'll really help form partnerships, and I think tonight's a night that they probably should go and put out a good performance.
Celtic with a couple of corners in quick succession, so they are on top in the early stages. Work to do on this teaser. The four visiting teams that will be playing Celtic at Celtic Park in the Europa League: Marseille, Ferencváros, Celta Vigo and Besiktas, include 7 players that used to play for Celtic or Rangers. Can you name them? You have Timo Weah, Carl Starfelt, Vaclav Cherny and Ridvan Yilmaz.
Correct.
Hyungju Oh.
Big boy, it was Rangers. Cornelius.
Derek Cornelius. I feel like you've not really contributed much to this one, Alex.
Just the one, just the one.
That's all right.
One. And Tony gave me that.
One more. One more to get.
I need a clue.
So it's Ferencváros. It's a former Celtic player.
Yeah.
Was on loan, I'm sure. Winger.
Oh, tell you.
No, but fellow countryman.
As Arzani.
Oh, you're getting there. Daniel Arzani.
That's never got that
correct.
Well done,
so
Tony,
you get
son.
The seven nice in day. The end. Thank you very much to Alex Ray and to Tony Watt. Of course, thank you very much to you at home for listening along, getting involved on the phones and on social media. Goalless it is between Celtic and Aberdeen after 8 minutes, 10 minutes into the rest of the games. It's goalless between Dundee and St Johnston, goalless between Motherwell and Dundee United. Kilmarnock 1-0 down to St Mirren already. It's an 8 o'clock kickoff between Falkirk and Rangers. We'll be back tomorrow night. We'll be bringing you all the reaction to those games and, of course, the transfer deadline day, because that will be done by the time we are on air tomorrow. Callum Gallagher is up next.